Have you noticed all the building work that has been going on down at that Tide Mills? You noticed? They've built a new road and they've built a new bridge. And it was all finished ages ago and it's quite impressive, but it's actually very mysterious. The road doesn't go anywhere and the bridge has never been used. A lot of effort has gone into this building work and it all looks good. But it's very unclear what its purpose is. Why is there a bridge? Why is there a new road? What are they doing there? Now one day I guess we'll find out, won't we? But here's a question for all of us. Do you ever feel like that about church? Here we are, week after week. We meet, we sing, we're building something, but why? What is the purpose of us being church? What is the point of us being here week after week? So while you think about that, let me tell you the story about how churches do archery. Have you heard this one? You know archery? Bows and arrows? Most churches do archery like this. They fire off all their arrows in every direction and then they draw in the target around where the arrows land. That way it doesn't matter if your aim is lousy, does it? You don't need to have any purpose at all if you operate like that. But of course you won't win any archery competition. To do real archery, you need to know what the target is before you start. You need to know what you're aiming at. And it's the same with church. We've got to know what our purpose is. Because our purpose governs our actions. Our purpose tells us what we should be doing and how we should be doing it. So what is the purpose of the church? I'm going to tell you. Put you out of your suspense. We've seen, haven't we? Church is people. Church is family, and our purpose as God's people is to glorify Him. Just before we get to that passage today, just before we get there, back in Ephesians chapter 3, it says this: God's intent, His purpose, was to make His wisdom known to all the powers in the universe through the church. Through the church is how God shows His power and His wisdom to all the universe. So our purpose is to glorify God. And we do that by growing. By growing. And that growth is meant to be very, very wide. So I don't know if you can think about Revelation chapter 5. It's this picture around the throne room of God. And we're told that around the throne there are people from every tribe and every nation and every tongue and every people. Our growth is meant to be very, very wide. We are meant to make disciples of all nations. But our growth is also supposed to be very deep. And that's what this passage is about today. Our purpose as church is to grow deeply, deeply. So I want to say three things. Okay, here's the first thing I want to say. The goal of our growth. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, we're told the goal of our growth, the thing that we're aiming at, is maturity in Christ. I'd love you, please, can you have that passage in front of you? It'd be so helpful if you had it in front of you now. Ephesians chapter 4, and just look down to verse 13. Ephesians 4, verse 13. Verse 13 is like the meat in the middle of the sandwich, or if you prefer, the vegan substitute in the middle of the sandwich. Okay? Let me read verse 13. Here is the goal. Here is the purpose. Here is the thing that we are supposed to be aiming at. Paul says, verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That is the goal. That is the purpose. That is what we are aiming at.
Now,
here's a little illustration for you, right? I've got a glass of water here. Can you see that, everybody? Can you see that? Now, if I gave you that glass of water, you'd say, thanks very much. It is a glass. It is water. But it's a bit thin. It's a bit lacking. It's a bit pathetic, really, isn't it? As a glass of water. And that glass is a picture of a church where growth is a bit stunted. It's a real church with real Christians, but Paul says, fill it up. Fill it up. He says, don't aim for a little bit of Jesus. Aim for the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So mind your heads down there. I've got a jug of water. This is what we're supposed to be aiming at. Do you see that? That is what maturity in Christ is meant to be. That's the goal of our growth together. But we will miss the point, friends. This is really important. We'll miss the point if we think that all that matters is my personal growth through maturity in Christ. That's not what Paul is talking about here. Paul is talking about the church. He's talking about this thing called the body of Christ. Verse 12, he talks about the body. Verse 15, he talks about the body. Verse 16, he talks about the body. It's another picture Paul uses to help us understand church. Church is family, but church is also body. Christ is the head, verse 15, and we are all parts of the body. And our purpose together is to grow to maturity in Christ. When the church attains the full measure of the wholeness, the fullness of Christ, that will be when the whole thing collectively functions as God wants it to, with all its parts working perfectly together. So, Graham Bynum has written this book about church, and he says, and it's very helpful what he says, the Christian life is a team sport. The Christian life is a team sport, and your team is your church. And the goal for your team, not just for you, is to grow towards functioning as the best team. Our goal together is to grow to maturity in Christ. That's the first thing. Here's the second thing I want to say. How does it happen? So I want to think about the means of growth. We've thought about the goal of growth, maturity in Christ. I want to think about the means. How does it happen? I'm going to tell you. The means of that growth is all of us. It's all of us, you and me. I want to show you the logic of this passage, because when you see it, it's really, really helpful. So can you go back to verse 7, right at the beginning? We're going to start with the bread at the top of the sandwich, okay? Verse 7, the whole thing starts with Jesus. Paul says this, look down with me, to each member of the body, to each one of us, Jesus has given gifts. He's given a little packet of grace. Remember, grace is an undeserved gift. You can't pay for it. You can't earn it. That's the whole point of a gift, isn't it? That's the starting point. Don't worry about verses 9 and 10. They're too complicated for me and for you, probably. Move on to verse 11. Move on to verse 11. What are some of these gifts? What are some of these apportionments of grace that Christ has given to the body? Let's read verse 11. So Christ himself gave, you see, gave a gift. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. These are specific gifts which Christ has given to help build and grow the church. Now, I think apostles and prophets are foundational gifts which were given for the formation of the church. Therefore, I do not expect to see apostles and prophets today, at least not in the way that Paul uses those terms here. If you don't agree with that, speak to me afterwards. I'll show you why in Ephesians I think those are foundational gifts. Okay, Then you have, after that, you have evangelists and pastors and teachers. Please notice, they are not foundational gifts. They are ongoing gifts for the extension of Christ's church and for the care and the growth of Christ's church. But please understand, this is the most important thing I'm going to say this morning. Those specific, essential, wonderful gifts are not the means of growing the church. They are not the means. That's not what Paul says at all. He says, verse 11, Christ gave all these gifts. Why did he give them? Because of verse 12, to equip the saints, to equip the people of God for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, so that we will all grow to maturity in Christ. Please, do you see, my job is not to be the means of growth. Jez's job is not to be the means of growth. Our job is to equip and facilitate all of us for works of service so that the whole body grows. We are all together supposed to be the means of growth to maturity. And we will not do it. We will not attain the measure of the fullness of Christ if only a few individuals are doing all of the work. Do you see how radically different Paul's vision of the church is to how we often see it? When I was at theological college in North London, there was a church near where we lived. And on their order of service each week, famously it said this. You know how we have news in the pews and it says I'm the rector and he's the curate. Well, on this one it said, the pastor teacher is Reverend so-and-so. The assistant pastor teacher is Reverend so-and-so. Ministers, all the congregation. All the congregation. What does minister mean? It just means servant. What does verse 12 say? It says we're all meant to be servants. We're all meant to be being equipped for works of service. Remember, the Christian life is a team sport and your team is your church. Now, every team needs a couple of gifted individuals, does it not? Looking at no one in particular. But no team can succeed and grow unless the whole team is involved, unless the whole team is committed and wanting to grow and build. And frankly, we saw it yesterday, did we not, with Leicester City winning that FA Cup final. But actually, what I wanted to tell you is that my favourite team of all time is Brazil 1970. I never saw them play, but we had a video. We had a video of Brazil 1970. They were called Team of the Century. They were so good that when they won the World Cup in 1970, they were allowed to keep it because they'd won it three times in four tournaments. But here's the funny thing. If I think about it, I can't name more than two members of that team. Pelé, and I think the captain was called Carlos Alberto. But my point is, what you remember is the team. The team. And you know, I fear so many churches, especially evangelical churches, so many churches today are known for the ministry of the minister. They're known for the ministry of the vicar or the pastor. And Paul says, no, no, the church should be known for the ministry of the church. It's churches that make disciples. I never tire of telling myself, it's churches that make disciples. It's not individuals. It's churches working together as a team that grow to maturity in Christ. The head is Christ. The head is Christ. And if you're in Christ, we're all equally and together members of his body. I'm just another member. I'm just another member, just like you. We're all responsible to help reach the goal, which is maturity in Christ. Have I said that enough? I'm going to test you. And we're all supposed to be the means of reaching that goal. But last thing, How will we know when we've got there? What are the marks of growth to maturity? Or at least, what are the signs that we're moving in the right direction? They're set out for us in verses 14 to 16. Right at the end, Paul explains what the marks of this maturity in Christ are. And it seems to me there is this stability, there is this steadfastness, there is this reliability about a church that is growing. Verse 14, then we will no longer be infants, no longer children, tossed around by the waves and blown off course by every wind of wrong teaching and deceitful scheming. But instead, verse 15, we are to be people who speak the truth in love. And Graham Bynum, in his book, he really helpfully says what that means is we are to teach truth to each other, but we are to do it lovingly. And you know, it's the easiest thing in the world, isn't it, to speak lovingly, actually. And it's the easiest thing sometimes to speak truthfully. But what is jolly, jolly hard is to do both those things. To speak truthfully and lovingly. And therefore we need to be really careful how we do that, don't we? Really careful. But to be able to do that, to be able to speak the truth in love, and even more, to be able to receive the truth in love, when someone speaks it to you, that is the sign, is it not, of maturity in Christ. To be able to teach truth lovingly to each other. Now, obviously, that teaching happens on a Sunday, doesn't it? Every Sunday. But can I say, I think that we are having a particularly fruitful time at the moment in our smaller groups that have just started to meet together in person. And I would just really, really urge you to come to one of those groups. We've tried to fix it so that there's something for everyone. There's something in the morning and there's something in the evening. In fact, some people come to both. But the point is, the next evening one is this Wednesday at 7:30. So please, please think about coming along, because they're interactive. They start to help us take little steps towards what it might look like to speak the truth in love to each other. So Paul the Apostle wants nothing less than for all of us together to grow to maturity in Christ. But we won't be able to do it. We will go wrong on this if we value my personal growth and not body growth. The Bible says we've got to value both my personal growth, but also the growth of the body. We've got to do both. We will go wrong. We will go wrong on this if we leave all the work of the church to a few individuals. We won't grow. We'll go wrong if church doesn't look or feel like a team. It's meant to be a team. We will go wrong if people are not being equipped for service. Well, look, if you're not being equipped for service, come and tell me. Speak the truth in love to me or to Jez and tell us, look, I'm not being equipped for service. Because we need all to be equipped for service. And then, if we are being equipped for service, we actually do then need to serve, don't we? We'll go wrong if we don't then get on and serve. Our captain, our head, the head of the team is Jesus. And by his grace, he's given us all that we need. We're told here, he's given us all that we need. All we have to do together is get on with the job. Let me finish with this. Verse 16, from him, from Jesus, the head, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Let's work on this. Let's pray that we would be this church that Paul calls us to be. Amen.